And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, film critic Dan Hudak catches up with the co-directors of O Cinema, Kareem Tapsch and Vivian Martel. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. When you hear the music of South Florida's Gold Dust Lounge, you'll swim in decades of cultural references, from jazz legends like Duke Ellington, Monk, and Mingus, to the West Coast surf music of Dick Dale, to TV, sci-fi, and noir movie themes, country and western, psychedelia, a touch of exotica, Latin rhythms, to the blues, and so much more. Reality can seem to just fade away as you'll be swept up in the musical time machine that is the Gold Dust Lounge. A fixture on the South Florida music scene for years, Gold Dust Lounge has performed regularly and in residencies at venues including the Standard, the Royal Palm, the Betsy Hotel, the Broken Shaker, Bardot, throughout the Wynwood Art District and burgeoning downtown Miami scenes. Last night you might have caught their standing room only performance on the main stage at the legendary Mai Kai restaurant for the 13th annual Hookie Lao in Fort Lauderdale. On Friday, June 21st, you can time travel with them as they celebrate the release of their latest CD, Lost Sunset, at the Nest at 62 Northeast 14th Street in Miami. That's just west of the Arsht Center. And today we're honored to welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat the magnificent musician, composer, and leader of Gold Dust Lounge, Mr. Russell Mofsky. Great to have you back, Russell.
Hey, Ed, thanks. I need to get a copy of that. That sounded good.
Oh, it'll be on the website in just a few minutes. Russell, tell me about your musical education. Let's go back way back. Did you begin it by enjoying your parents' album collection and listening to the radio as many kids did here in the country?
Actually, probably the first instrument I really learned to play was a record player. and there was a recording, the first one I remember, Sound Off, which was it was like World War II marching band playing Sound Off and Over Here, Over There, and all kinds of stuff. And then there was some Lawrence Welk and a lot of Disney albums as well. So we had The Jungle Book and, those were probably my records. But yeah.
They bought them for
you.
There
was that, and there was a piano as well. And the piano was mostly covered with pictures and other types of items. It was like a showpiece. No one really played in the house. But I discovered earlier on that you could make it sound like a thunderstorm, with the sustain pedal and just banging on the keys. So
I'm sure they said, enough of that, son.
That's where the love for ambient music came from.
There you go. Did you graduate to more adult fare in recordings? Did they have the great jazz stuff? Did they have pop?
You know, unfortunately, there was kind of pathetically little there, and immediately graduated right away to FM radio and The Pretenders, Tom Petty. There was a lot of oldies stuff, and back then, it wasn't so old. We're talking like this would have been 1974, so it would have been just music that of the previous decade. But I did hear a lot of doo-wop growing up, and a lot of sort of like beach music, I guess what it would have been from the rock and roll era, like Beach Boys and so forth. But then right away got pretty much into stuff I heard on the radio. My first ever purchase was Kiss Double Platinum, and my first vinyl purchase was Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh yeah, great group. Are you still purchasing vinyl?
I am purchasing,
and you're
vinyl,
issuing
yes.
vinyl, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes.
Yeah,
but then you grew up, you matured, and you became a graduate of the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston. You're a South Floridian.
I am,
and that is such a marvelous old conservatory, founded in 1867. They've been pumping out great musicians for literally centuries. What a great conservatory and a great music town Boston is. Describe that educational experience for us up in B-Town.
Well, that was it was a really intense period where I just dedicated myself to music, really, and to learning the guitar. I kind of wanted to just be able to speak on the guitar and not be hindered. So I got to hang out and spend a lot of time with some great musicians like the great George Russell, Danilo Perez, Rand Blake, Hank Osnetsky of the Klezmer Conservatory Band, and I mean, there's so many others. Bob Moses, Cecil McBee, Ben Maunder, John Abercrombie, Mick Goodrick. There's
great guitarists.
There's some really, really fantastic musicians that you just got to interact with on a daily basis. One of my favorites was the trumpeter John McNeil. We used to work on a lot of palindromes. We'd spend about half our time on music and half our time on palindromes. But it was a great time. And playing a lot of different music. I worked with Stephen Drury of the Calathumpian Consort, playing the music like of Lucas Foss and some great American like new music composers, doing some avant-garde pieces. And it was a great time to be exposed to lots of music. Boston's got a great town.
That really opened up your eyes and your ears, more importantly, I'm sure, and really laid the marvelous foundation of the Gold Dust Lounge. Your pieces are ambient in any 1 second, and then they take a left-hand turn. And bringing all this together is not easy. Tell us a little bit about that process. Do you just let it go and see what happens? Or is this a fully planned process every single second?
No, I think that I feel really grateful actually to have arrived at this point of my life with music, because really it's all just spilling out really naturally. Mm. You know, I it was only after doing Gold Dust Lounge for a few years where I could kind of take a look back and see that it wasn't so much about like doing a specific kind of music, but I think that a lot of my experiences, especially going back to early childhood, like the TV shows that I would used to see all the time, Bonanza, you know, Bigfoot, In Search Of, you know, I was so into this little boy into all this sci-fi and all this stuff that it was just starting to come out. And then, you know, Creature Feature on Channel 6 on Saturdays, Big Wilson, somehow
Big
I watched
Wilson.
That stuff. And
you remember Big Wilson.
And I don't know how it's all coming through, but somehow, and I think I'm grateful that I've reached a point where it just feels like the filter is off. Mm. And somehow in the psyche, or there's just a getting access to it's like and all of these different influences are like commingling. So it's like it'll be like Bewitched mixed with Afrobeat, and so the musical influences are intermingling with the TV themes, and then like just, you know, impressions from traveling around to different places and knowing different people and different situations. So, and it's all kind of coming out in music.
And that's why your music to me is, and so many others, is the standing room only crowd last night at the Maikai is so marvelous, because it really is time traveling. In my humble opinion, you link together so many disparate elements in people's lives, and it's just magnificent. Did you play this wonderful diversity of music while you were DJ on WVUM when you were attending the University of Miami?
On WVUM, it was a little bit more myopic in terms of what we were playing. I did the punk rock show. It was like an hour and a half long specialty show on Friday nights. And it was a great little pulpit for playing my band Quit at the time. You know, we'd always play a couple of Quit songs, and Quit was an important local band back in the day, and had a nice following. And this would have been like in the late 80s, early 90s. Really, you know, I grew up on the first music that I really got attached to when I first started buying records was punk rock, like Discord Records, SST, Touch and Go out of
great
Midwest,
labels.
and so bands like Sonic Youth and
Early Henry Rollins?
Well, you know, SOA, he was in State of Alert back in the early on, yeah. Black Flag, for sure. And, you know, I was discovering Yesterday and Today Records, and Richie Lowe is a good friend. Absolutely, you know, and he was a big champion of our music back then and still. Rich, if you're listening, I hope you make it to the Nest on Saturday.
We'll talk about that.
So
you had a ball on VUM.
So yeah, I would go to Yesterday and Today and pick up records and then go play them on VUM. And I had my friend Giovanni, who I haven't seen in many years, and Brian Clancy, friends used to come in, and we would do the show, and then generally would go out and play, like it would be a quit show, and we would go play because it was Friday night.
Great fun on VUM at the University of Miami. My alma mater.
Yeah.
Loved it. We'll be back with our guest today, Mr. Russell Mofsky of Gold Dust Lounge. We've got another segment we're going to talk about his great new release, Lost Sunset, and more. So please stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat. More to come. That's the Gold Dust Lounge from their latest release, Lost Sunset, and a great little thing called Riff Raff. Russell Mofsky, their leader, but I would think he's more of a democratic leader, perhaps we'll ask him that, on electric and acoustic guitars and loops. Arturo Garcia, drums and percussion. Brian Tate, bass. Also, James Quinlan. Yes, Laura and James's son on bass on four cuts. Juan Turos on Barry sax and flute. Max Farber, organ. Randy Singer on harmonica. And percussionists from?
From Femi Kuti's Positive Force Band.
Wow, from Femi Kuti's band.
Yeah.
Wow. So, a terrific new release. The official date for release, the street date, if you will, is the 21st, Friday the 21st. And
Saturday the 21st.
Saturday the 21st, thank you. And you'll be at the Nest, 62 Northeast 14th Street in Miami. That's just west of the Arsht. And you'll be launching it on a show with many other performers.
Yeah, so we got Shark Valley Sisters, which is Rob Elba and Fausto Figueredo, two fixtures from the local scene. Rob was in the Holy Terrors and Fausto was in Load, among others. And
Load, that's going back. Is that the punk band Load?
Yeah, exactly.
That was Bob Slade's group that he managed.
They're a legendary band from South Florida. And then there's the Rat Opera Band, which is a collective, which really is something you should know about. I don't even know if I can probably say Rat Bastard on air, but everybody knows Frank Flustra.
It's an established name.
Yeah.
And I don't think the FCC will kill us.
So the Rat Opera Band really was put together by Rob Elba again and Brian Franklin, solicited ideas for a while, not ideas, but stories about Rat's life and music, and set it to music. And that's become the Rat Opera. And we've done, we did two big shows at Cinema Paradiso about 6 weeks ago up in Fort Lauderdale in the theater. And we've got a recording coming out that was recorded at Rat's studio. Mm. And that band that's got like Jim Camacho, Diane Ward, Renee Alvarez, and lots of other people.
So your latest release, Lost Sunset, was born from a successful Kickstarter campaign that was begun in September of last year. Tell us about that process, and did it seem to you at that time like uncharted fundraising territory? I mean, Kickstarter was fairly new.
It was new. I was willing to give it a shot and prepared myself. I worked, I started in February of 13 to like research how to run a Kickstarter and talk to people who ran successful ones. Did a lot of research on the stats, and then picked a time to do it, and then did it, and we pulled it off.
And it came through beautifully. I mean, that's really sticking your neck out. People don't contribute to you. You want to go commit suicide, I guess. I don't know.
It's
you're putting your heart out on the line.
It's all or nothing at all. And you know, if you don't raise the entire amount, you don't get any of it, which is good. You know, if you want to, it's actually, I've learned that it's great, like, for finding new things, all kinds of new things. There's great music out there. Great films. In fact, there's a local endeavor going on right now, Little Haiti Rock City by Franco Parente. It's a documentary, an Angel Markoulis documentary on Churchill's and the transition there. So if you're out there and you want to check out some good stuff, check out that too.
Kickstarter is just going to fund some magnificent projects that might not otherwise get off the ground. And in the spirit of full disclosure, I too kicked in for Lost Sunset, and I am so happy that it came to such a wonderful fruition. It's a great release, and once again, will be premiered Saturday, June 21st at the Nest, 62 Northeast 14th Street in Miami, just west of the Arsht Center. For more info on the Gold Dust Lounge, go to golddustlounge.com, on Twitter at Russell Mofsky, Facebook at Gold Dust Lounge, Instagram at Gold Dust Lounge, full of great pictures there, I got to tell you. LinkedIn at Russell Mofsky, and SoundCloud at Gold Dust Lounge. But this release is primarily available on your main website?
Yeah, through the website. We've also got a Bandcamp site set up at shop.golddustlounge.com. Which is readily available from the website, golddustlounge.com. A week from tomorrow, that will be up on there for, you know, you can download in a variety of digital formats for MP3 to FLAC and all kinds of different audiophile formats, and then vinyl.
Russell, you're a very modern musician. You're an extraordinary, magnificent musician, but you're also very attuned to new ways of marketing your music, which is so necessary now in this new age of music. I mean, the record labels are gone, thank goodness, and it's up to the musicians. It's all on your shoulders. Tell me about your collaborations with the Corning Glass Company. That's wonderful.
So probably a bunch of your listeners are aware that we, for a long time, played in front of the Harold Golan Gallery in Wynwood, and that led to us becoming the house band at the Aqua Art Fair. And one of the years that we were playing at Aqua, the team of people from the Corning Museum of Glass up in Western New York, this is about an hour west of the Ithaca area, so we're talking far from New York City, but in a really great, vibrant music scene out there as well, very rootsy scene. They stopped by for a listen and must have picked up a card or signed the email list, and then a couple of months later made contact by email and expressed their desire to bring us up for their biggest annual event that they do. And we've done that. We've done that each year so far since then.
That's marvelous. In our last 3 minutes, we will also want to find out about your work composing music for the upcoming documentary about the marvelous photographer we recently lost, unfortunately, Bunny Yeager.
Yes, and you know that project is continuing to move forward slowly, and that's all I can really say right now.
Okay, yeah. But you're still composing for it, hopefully.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I was asked to, for sure.
We certainly hope that continues. Any other projects coming up for Gold Dust Lounge or Russell Mofsky?
There's some cool, super, super secret stuff we can't reveal yet.
Super secret.
You know, we've got almost like already like almost another album's worth of new material.
Wow.
And even though we're just getting into really hitting with the promotional phase of this album, so we'll be, you know, by the time we hit the studio again, there'll be plenty of great new stuff, just, you know, looking forward to getting out and playing more. And you know, we took some time off to ready the release of this album and come up with a promotional strategy, and looking forward to getting back out there and playing.
Hopefully we'll see a national promotion strategy, because the rest of the country's got to know about you guys.
They've got to. Yeah.
Yeah, some things in the works.
That's going to happen.
But they're super secret.
You'll be the first to find out about it, I promise.
You can bring us an exclusive, man. Come on. Come on. Well, we love you and can't wait for the official debut of Lost Sunset. Once again, that's Saturday, June 21st at The Nest, 62 Northeast 14th Street in Miami. That's just west of the Arsht Center. Give us a quick little description of The Nest.
So The Nest is a pop-up venue that arrived in time for Winter Music Conference this year. And it's right across the corner from where the Vagabond was for so many years.
Sad loss.
Exactly. And Anders from I believe it's Massive Ideas, which is an offshoot of the Moksha Family Collective. They do the after parties for Big Night in Little Haiti, and so he was involved with that for a long time, and now is doing The Nest, and they're staying open, and they've got a great little scene there. It's a nice, small, intimate little space, and really looking forward to it.
Saturday, June 21st is the big official premiere of Lost Sunset, and once again, for more info, go to Dust Lounge.
GoldDustLounge.com,
named after a wonderful jazz club here in Miami, long gone. On Twitter, at Russell Mofsky, Facebook at Gold Dust Lounge, Instagram at Gold Dust Lounge, LinkedIn at Russell Mofsky, and SoundCloud at Gold Dust Lounge. The last one, shop.GoldDustLounge.
Shop.GoldDustLounge.com, which you won't remember. Just go to the website.
And thank you so much, Russell, for bringing us some of your wonderful music. Good luck to you in the future. Please stay in touch. And I hope the whole world finds out about Gold Dust Lounge.
Thank you very much, Ed.